Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. We hope that you'll keep in mind the verse we've been emphasizing recently. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Just because something seems right to us, that doesn't necessarily make it right. What makes it right is if it's according to God's word. It's either right or wrong based upon God's word, not necessarily what seems right to us. Tim from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, June, the month of June is supposedly, I call it what it is, Pervert's Pride Month. Proud to be a pervert. Anyway, I've heard that no nation in the history of the world that says homosexuality is normal has lasted more than one generation. What do you say? I just want your opinion on that.
I don't have any clue on that, but this I like to read this passage because this is what really matters. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." So this passage starts out by saying these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. It ends the same way. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. It gives us a list of sins. In other words, people involved in these sins, if they don't repent and get forgiveness, they're going to be lost. And that includes idolaters, people who worship idols, adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals. So homosexuals are going to be lost. People will call in the problem, can they be forgiven? Yeah, they can be forgiven if they'll stop being a homosexual, like a drunkard. If a drunkard will repent and quit drinking, he can be forgiven because this verse won't condemn him anymore if he's not a drunkard anymore. Same way with a homosexual. Any follow-up, Tim?
Yeah, isn't that the reason that Rome fell? Because they accepted all that?
You know, I really don't have a clue, Tim. The Bible doesn't tell us. So what we do is we're going to try to go by the Bible here, and the Bible doesn't talk about why Rome fell, but it does say that homosexuality, which would include gay marriage, is a sin. Here's another passage. Romans 1, 26 and 27 says, "For this cause, God gave them up into vile infections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat." 26 is condemning clearly what we call lesbianism. 27, condemning gay men doing their thing. The Bible, there's five or six verses in the Old Testament, five or six verses in the New Testament that teach that homosexuality is a sin. It is. Doesn't matter what society says. It may seem right to them, but again, Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Homosexuality may seem right to some. It doesn't make it right. It is condemned by the scripture. Therefore, it leads to spiritual death. The last couple of weeks, we've been going through a textual study of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. And we got through verse 15 last week. So that brings us to verse 16, the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, why is that verse so famous? I think it's because it encapsulates so much of the Bible, the gospel, in such a concise and beautiful way. The gospel is really God gave his Son. God gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And that's the only way we can be saved. And then the first phrase there, that's the second phrase of John 3:16. The first phrase tells us why God did that. "For God so loved the world." He so loved the world. You'd have to love somebody an awful lot to give your Son for him. I mean, I'm thinking of 1 John 4:8-9. It says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." It's not saying that love is our God. It's saying God is the epitome of love. He demonstrates love to its perfection. And he loved us so much, he's willing to see his Son being sacrificed on a horrible death cross so that we could be saved. If you have a Bible question or comment, I want you to give us a call. The number, the lines are wide open, 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm reading Romans 5, 6 through 8 here. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve for Christ to die for us. It's not like we were some great thing that, and we deserve Christ dying for us. No, we're sinners. We're not even a good man. Christ died for us while we were sinners. While we're in rebellion to God, Jesus died for us. Why am I bringing this up? We ought to appreciate so much what Jesus has done for us. The fact that he's willing to die for us, even though we were living in rebellion to him, that we ought to appreciate it so much that we're going to want to serve him with our whole heart. If we study something doctrinally, we need to make a change in our belief and practice, what we believe doctrinally, we're going to be willing to do it because look what Jesus did for me. Or in our moral life, you know, like we were talking about, maybe you're listening and you're a homosexual. You're going to be willing to make a change and quit being a homosexual because you want to serve this Lord who's willing to die for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him, he died for everybody, the whole world. That's what it's saying. It's not the Calvinist view that he only died for a few, so that only a few can be saved. No, he died for everybody so that whoever believes in him, that's what it says. It doesn't say only the elect have the possibility of being saved. It says all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All who believe. Now, this verse definitely teaches you have to believe in Christ to be saved, but it doesn't teach that all you have to do is believe to be saved. It doesn't say that. It just says you do have to believe. Let me go to this call. Johnny from Spokane, Washington. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I'm asking about Revelation chapter 2, 9 and 3, 9. It says the Jews are the synagogue of Satan. Who are those people?
In Revelation 2, 9, I know thou works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. 3, 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet to know that I have loved thee. So in Revelation 3, 9, he's talking to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. In chapter 2, 9, he's talking to the church at Smyrna. It doesn't really give us a whole lot of information. These are people that are saying they're Jews, but they're actually of the synagogue of Satan. They're serving Satan. I think we have a lot of people like that today, Johnny. They may not admit it, but they're serving Satan. I mean, the people that are saying it's okay to be homosexual or it's okay to have women preachers or it's okay to sprinkle
Chuck
babies
Schumer?
For baptism.
How about
yes,
Chuck
Johnny,
Schumer? He's a Jew. Chuck Schumer says he's a Jew.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, what we need to do is instead of following Satan, we need to follow Christ. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755. The number to call, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. 877-655-6755. We were talking about John 3:16. Now, it does say, first, Jesus died for everybody. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not just some, but everybody. So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's critical. He had to die for everybody so that whoever believes could be saved. Because if he didn't die for everybody, some couldn't be saved even if they did believe. Because Jesus didn't die for them. He died for everybody so that whoever believes will be saved. But it's not saying all you have to do is believe. That's not what it's saying. For example, this is saying you got to believe in Christ to be saved. But let me show you a parallel. John 5:24 says, this is Jesus speaking. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Jesus says there, you got everlasting life if you believe on him that sent me. Well, that's God the Father. You mean, is that saying all you have to do is believe in God the Father? You don't even have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to repent of your sins. If all you do is believe on him that sent me, believe on the Father who sent Jesus, that's good enough that you'll be saved. That would mean the Jews and the Muslims are going to be saved. They believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God, though. No, that's not saying in John 5:24, where it says, if you believe on him that sent me, you have everlasting life, that all you have to do is believe on him that sent me. You have to go to all the passages and look what every passage says about how to be saved. That concept would contradict John 3:16, which says you got to believe in Christ to be saved. So you got to do more than just believe on God the Father, the one who sent Jesus. Jews and Muslims aren't going to be saved because they don't believe in Jesus. John 3:16 says you got to believe in Jesus. You see, so it's not saying in John 5:24, it's not telling you everything you have to do to be saved. Everybody can see that. And neither is John 3:16 telling you everything you have to do to be saved. John 5:24 is not saying all you got to do is believe in the Father to be saved. That's not all you have to do. You also have to believe in the Son. And likewise, John 3:16 is not telling you all you have to do is believe in the Son to be saved. No, you got to do whatever the Bible says to do to be saved. You got to believe in Christ. What about this? 1 John 3:15, it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. If John 3:16 is teaching all you got to do to be saved is believe in Jesus, that means if you believed in Jesus but hated your brother, you would be saved because you believed in Jesus. And if that's all you have to do to be saved, then you'd be saved even though you hate your brother. But this says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. No, somebody that hates his brother is not going to be saved, even if he believes in Jesus. So John 3:16 is not telling us everything that a person has to do to be saved, because somebody that hates their brother, who's a believer in Christ, will not be saved. You got to do more than just believe in Jesus. You also have to love your brother. And what about something I mentioned a while ago? Do you have to repent? You know, if John 3:16 is telling us all we have to do to be saved, all you got to do is believe in Christ. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to be saved. That's the way a lot of people put it. If that's all you got to do, that would mean you don't even have to repent. And the gay church people would be saved. They believe in Jesus, but they're not willing to repent of their sin of homosexuality. But Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus makes it clear you got to repent to be saved. Well, that's not mentioned in John 3:16. That's because John 3:16 is not trying to tell you everything you have to do to be saved. All it's saying is you do have to believe to be saved. Many other passages tell us we have to repent of our sins to be saved. John 3:16 is not saying all you have to do is believe to be saved. Whatever the Bible says, wherever, you have to do it all. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. The number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. If John 3:16 were saying all you have to do to be saved is believe in Christ, then that would mean a person could be saved if they believed in Christ, even if they're not willing to confess Christ. We know that's not true because Romans 10:9 says you got to be willing to confess Christ in order to be saved. Here's Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you have to confess with your mouth in order to be saved. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. So John 3:16 that says you got to believe in Jesus to be saved is not telling us everything we have to do to be saved. If that were so, you could believe in Jesus and not confess Jesus and still be saved. But Romans 10:9 says you got to confess with your mouth Jesus to be saved. Here's an example of some people in the Bible who believed in Jesus, but were not willing to confess him. John 12:42-43 says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They believed in Jesus. They did what John 3:16 said to do, but nobody thinks they're saved. They're not willing to confess Jesus. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God, and they don't want to be put out of the synagogue. They believed in Jesus, but they didn't follow through on that belief. So John 3:16 is not telling you everything you have to do to be saved. You got to do more than just believe in Jesus to be saved. You got to confess. These people were not willing to confess. Romans 10:9 says you got to confess with your mouth to be saved. You got to believe in Jesus, John 3:16, and you got to confess with your mouth that you believe in Jesus. Romans 10:9. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. 877-655-6755. If all you have to do is believe in Jesus, what John 3:16 mentioned is that if that's telling us everything we have to do to be saved, then that means we could be saved if we believed in Jesus, even if we weren't willing to forgive others of their sins against us. But we know that's not true because Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus said this, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." John 3:16 says, you got to believe in Jesus to be saved. But obviously that's not all you have to do, because here's a person that believes in Jesus, but is not willing to forgive others who sin against him. He's not going to be saved. Jesus himself says in Matthew 6, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you believe in Jesus, but you're not willing to forgive others their trespasses against you when they repent, you're not going to be saved even though you believe in Jesus. John 3:16 is not telling us everything we have to do to be saved. What it's saying is you do have to believe in Jesus to be saved. That's what it's saying. It's not ruling anything else out. It's not ruling out having to forgive others to be saved. It's not ruling out confession or repentance. It's not ruling out the fact that we can't hate our brother. It's not trying to rule those out at all. It's just saying you got to believe to be saved. And then one other thing. If John 3:16 meant all you had to do to believe is believe in order to be saved, then that would rule out baptism. But 1 Peter 3:21 says baptism doth also now save us. Now, I don't think God's going to say baptism saves us if we don't have to be baptized to be saved. That would be totally confusing. The Bible teaches in a number of places, and we've talked about this on previous programs, a number of verses prove conclusively you got to be baptized to be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. Peter told believers in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Ananias told Saul, 3 days after he believed in Jesus, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. John 3:16 is not saying all you have to do to be saved is believe in Jesus. That would rule out baptism. But we know from other passages, you do have to be baptized to be saved. That would rule out repentance. But we know from other passages, like Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19, you got to repent in order to be saved. You got to repent of your sins. John 3:16 is never meant to tell you everything that a person has to do to be saved. If you want to know what to do to be saved, you need to look at every passage in the New Testament that says what you got to do to be saved. Put it all together. You can't just take one verse. There's no way God can put all the truth in one verse. He didn't ever intended to do that. That's why he gave us the whole Bible. We read and study the whole Bible. For us, our law today is the New Testament, the whole New Testament, to find out what we have to do to be saved, how to live our everyday life, what God would want us to do when worshiping him, how he wants us to serve him. We take it all, not just one verse. John 3:16 tells us we have to believe in Jesus to be saved, but that's not everything we have to do to be saved. There's a lot of other things we have to do to be saved. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I believe that's talking about they're not going to be lost in everlasting punishment. Matthew 25:46 says this, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So in that context, the wicked are going to go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Why can the righteous go to life eternal? Why is that? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All believers, all those who trust and obey Christ, are going to be saved based upon the death of Christ. That's why God the Father gave his son. That's the gospel. God gave his son so that we can be forgiven. He redeemed us with his blood. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 is the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 Peter 1:4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If something is reserved at the, a book is reserved at the library for you, Where you got to go to get that book? The library. If something, our reward is reserved for us in heaven, we're going to have to go to heaven to get that reward. That's what having everlasting life is all about. It's going to heaven. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's a description of heaven. That sounds like a place I want to go and spend eternity. No more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to avoid everlasting punishment, which we read about in Matthew 25, 46? Well, I do. So we have to trust and obey Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. It's the blood of Christ that pays for our sins, but this condition upon us believing and being baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the conditions we have to meet. Wade from Buffalo, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, salvation with baptism. My question would be, Old Testament, how were they all saved and they weren't baptized? The thief on the cross, he was not baptized.
Right. In
so
the Old Testament,
that's a requirement.
Because in the Old Testament, that law is not binding anymore. The Old Testament has been nailed to the cross, Colossians chapter 2. 14 through 17. Yeah, you're right. You'll never read about water baptism anywhere in the Old Testament. Genesis through Malachi, the people of the Old Testament times, during that dispensation, like the thief on the cross, they didn't have to be baptized. Adam and Eve didn't have to be baptized. The thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized. Moses, Noah, Abraham, none of those guys had to be baptized. This is strictly a New Testament ordinance, baptism, and it didn't go into effect. The Great Commission didn't go into effect. According to Luke 24:47, it didn't go into effect until Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. That's when people started having to be baptized to be saved. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The thief was not amenable to that. He lived under the Old Testament law. Go ahead, Wade.
Okay, so we're not saved through grace alone. We have to do works. We have to do something.
Right. That's exactly right. Jesus says it. I mean, James said in James 2:24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." So it's not grace alone. That's what God does for us, the grace. We have to have faith. John 3:16 says it's not by grace alone. It's whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So you got to have faith. It's not grace alone.
How about,
that's God's part. We have to have faith and we have to have trust and obey. Go ahead, Wade. I'm sorry.
Ephesians 2:8. Doesn't that tell us it's grace alone?
No, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So it's not grace alone. It takes also faith. Salvation is provided for by the death of Christ, but we have to have faith. We have to believe in Christ to accept that. So it's definitely not by grace alone. It's not by grace alone. Ephesians 2:8 says it's through faith. Appreciate your call, Wade. We're going to have to go off the air, but let me call your attention to the website for the program, BibleCrossfire.com. You can go there and listen to old programs. You can go there and ask me a Bible question over email. You can go there and sign up for a Bible correspondence course done over the internet. I would love to do a free one-hour phone Bible study with you sometime at your convenience. We could just sit down and study the Bible by phone sometime when it's convenient for you for 1 hour free of charge. So here's what I want you to do if you'd like that free one-hour phone Bible study. I want you to call or text my cell phone number at 256-682-9753. 256-682-9753. You know, the last part of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, I guess we can get to that next week. But verse 17 and 18 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then verse 19 through 21, let me just sum that up. 19 through 21 is basically summed up this way. Truth fears no investigation. If you don't agree with me, get your preacher to get up enough courage to debate me, a public debate on this. Truth fears no investigation. Again, if you'd like a free one-hour phone Bible study with me, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Appreciate you listening tonight. Be sure to listen next week at this same time.